Joanna, do you ever wish you could definitively prove that you had the right opinions about movies?
Yeah, Neil, because I do have the right opinions about movies and television. Right, Dave?
No, because I'm more right about those things, and I demand trial by content.
Oh boy, what is trial by content?
Each week, we'll take on a huge question.
Each of us will bring a choice, and combined with listener submissions and your votes, we will come to a decision.
It's trial by content every Tuesday on Spotify, TheRinger.com, or wherever you're listening right now. Don't let Neil win.
Don't let Dave win.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear, especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down your local wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
Welcome to Food News. I'm Juliette Littman.
I'm David Jacoby.
Let's put 30 minutes on the clock.
30 minutes.
Jacoby, lots of exciting stories today. Some questions we shall answer. One of my favorite topics, Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck.
I could do 30 minutes on the very first topic. Easily.
Easily. Let's just get into it. Everybody, Pusha T has dropped a diss track sponsored by Arby's going after McDonald's. It's 75 seconds long, and I think it's a good song.
It's amazing.
It's great. It's great.
The fish fillet sandwich was just having a regular day.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Just doing its thing. It was getting ready for work.
It was loving life.
It was at work. All of a sudden, it sees that it's trending on Twitter, and the fish fillet was like, what did I do
what
now?
The fuck?
And then Pusha T just flamed the fish fillet for 75 seconds. And before this song, I didn't have emotional thoughts or feelings about the fish fillet.
Uh-huh.
I liked to taste if someone else had one. I would never order one myself.
I was going to say it's Filet-O-Fish. Just
fair. Filet of fish.
You say fish fillet because that's a rhyme in the Kanye West and Jay-Z song.
Good point.
Paris.
Sorry. Filet of fish sandwich.
It's Kanye's fault.
My son had a thing where he went through it, and I love to have one bite. But given the other options, I would never order it myself.
Wait. Is that his go-to order at
McDonald's? No. It was for like three trips. And then he moved on to the spicy chicken sandwich.
That would be really upsetting.
But it was nice to have someone around that had one so you could exchange bites and just have one bite.
I've never wanted a bite of a filet of fish.
Oh, see, I like a filet of fish, but it's just like, it's kind of like a barbecue chicken slice of pizza. I'd like those, but there's just better options around and I'm only going to get one.
Question. What is more terrifying to you? The meat at McDonald's or the fish at McDonald's? Because that's where this is coming from. But when I think about it, I don't know the provenance of either. So really,
yeah,
it's like
I'm good
equally
with any
bad.
Of it. I'm not there to like inspect the food. You know what I mean?
Fast food fish just freaks me out. But
food fish. Fry anything that tastes good. But
also like vacuum freezing fish these days is very common. So I guess it's fine. Anyway.
How many times have you eaten at Arby's?
Zero.
Literally zero times in your
zero.
Life.
Zero. Never been in one.
I think I've had Arby's like four times in my life.
I used to work right next to one, but I've never been.
It's wild how prevalent Arby's is.
I think it's like a Texas thing. And I say that because I have one colleague, Brian Curtis, who I associate with Arby's for some reason.
Great sample size.
And he's from Texas.
Yes, yes. I've had Arby's three or four times. It's fine. But like I never looked at the Filet-O-Fish sandwich sideways. I never looked at its faults until Pusha T had a diss track about it. And I'm like, you know what, Pusha T? You're right. There's too much tartar sauce. Like, this is a whack sandwich.
If it was a better sauce, would it be too much sauce?
No, it's great. It's great sauce. I actually like tartar sauce. Like a fish and chips and tartar sauce is amazing. But like what Pusha T did was really open my eyes to the faults of this sandwich in a way that is way beyond a marketer's dream. And I like to think about like the conference room and the marketing team at Arby's is coming up with ideas. And someone was like, should I pitch this? Like, should I try this? And whoever that was, that young man or woman, because they're definitely young, who, whenever they pitched this and got this to actually happen, is one of the greatest accomplishments of corporate America in the last 200 years, easily.
So I went in a totally different direction with this because I'm loving it. So Pusha T is mad.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
Tell this story.
Pusha T is mad at McDonald's because he said, and apparently he first made this claim in 2016, that he wrote the bada bada ba, I'm loving it jingle.
Who do you think wrote that before this happened?
Well, I just know the Justin Timberlake song.
Exactly.
So I didn't think Justin Timberlake had written it.
I had heard that he actually had written it.
JT?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's interesting.
We did a deep dive on this.
On J&J?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Pusha T does not have a credit on this song.
No.
It's a Neptune song. It's a Pharrell song.
Yes.
Produced by them with
JT.
But
he works with them, so he could be around during the creative process.
Sure. But like, he said he didn't get paid enough for this jingle. Not that he didn't get paid, which I find really interesting. And I'm just like, huh, so how many people out there like have claim to songs by Pharrell and songs by JT? I just want to say JT, a really bad track record of giving people proper credit and also like, I don't know, just being a magnanimous celebrity.
Yes.
And so this doesn't surprise me at all when it comes to him. I would guess Pharrell does not have the reputation, and I would guess since Pusha T did get married, that piece of
married. Got married? Pusha T is married?
What's wrong with me?
What happened? Did Pusha T got married?
Is there something broken in my brain?
Yes, but it has nothing to do with saying words.
I assume Pusha T did get paid for his work on this.
I'm assuming he did get married at some point. We'll look that up.
Might be
producer
married.
Mike, can you look that up for us? Thank you.
Who knows? But I just think it's really interesting that like no one is giving him the credit that he claims he deserves. And so anyway, someone at Arby's knew that Pusha T was pissed about this and leveraged his anger.
I love that person.
And was like, okay, let's do a song together. I love the person too. I feel like that person is probably a Pusha T. I don't think the higher ups at Arby's are probably like hip to this controversy and the fact that this is possible. Someone's kid or some young person on
That's
staff
what I'm saying.
At
it's like
Arby's
the young
like
marketing,
made this happen.
The associate marketing director,
and we
4 years
to
out of college,
them.
is just like, honestly, I swear to God, getting this from concept to completion, if it came from internally, is one of the greatest accomplishments in corporate America. However, there's another way this could have happened. Like a manager of Pusha T's could have gone to Arby's and been like, have you ever heard of Pusha T?
Right.
You see what he did to Drake? Guess what?
You are hiding a child.
We're going to do that to McDonald's. Like, if Pusha T has a diss track about you, it is hard to come back from that. Very hard to come back from
it
that.
It really
It went from
really
hiding
is.
A child. Now he claims a child on Instagram.
It really is. If you want to know more about the contentious, if you want to know more about the jingle, in 2016, Pitchfork did a big article called The Contentious Tale of the McDonald's I'm Loving It jingle. So check it out.
It made me want to try a sandwich now. I'm going to try a sandwich. I'm going to do it.
I will not be
trying it.
Give
myself personal food news research.
Where is Arby's? Like,
around.
Are they? I guess you frequently go to New Jersey, so there's like maybe one there.
Maybe. I don't think they have any in the city. I'll get one.
That's why I haven't been to one.
They're in Los Angeles. You know that one by the
Yeah,
it's
Gower
office.
Gulch. That's where I used to go to one.
Yeah, it's the best Arby's sign I've ever seen. The Arby's sign is so amazing by the Ringer office in L.A. It almost makes you want to eat Arby's, but emphasis on almost.
There is one in Manhattan. It's on 8th Avenue and 40th Street. So you could go.
I know that block.
Sure. Yeah, of course. Near Madison Square Garden-ish. More near Port Authority, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one in Queens.
Okay, perfect.
So you could go there too. It's on Metropolitan Avenue, but like not like the hip part of it.
I hope this sparks more rappers being hired by corporate companies to do diss tracks.
Me too.
Like
I
want
it.
This to expand.
I think this is kind of good for McDonald's too. It's like it's kind of like a no.
Oh no,
no press is bad press.
Oh no, this is bad press.
I don't know.
I had no opinion of the fish fillet. If you want to say, do you like fish fillets? It's like, yes, but there's other options that are better. So I usually get the spicy chicken sandwich or a Big Mac or something like that. But now I'm like, I'll never order fish fillet in my life.
Oh my God. Well, I was never ordering it anyway. So I'm just interested in the music aspect of this. And as a Backstreet Boys loyalist, I love to hate on Justin Timberlake. So let's move on. Next.
Related.
Next story is a question. And the question is, I saw this in the New York Times as I was just browsing a couple, maybe weeks ago at this point. Someone asked the question, if I open a box of berries and one berry is moldy, do I need to throw out the whole box? Now, I was delighted someone asked this question because I think we all encounter moldy berries, especially with raspberries. They go moldy really fast. Especially raspberries.
And you can, like, the second you touch one, if you're not looking or something, you're like, oh,
yeah, you can tell.
And, like, and you, there is adjacent berries that I associate with that berry. And this is completely non-scientific, but if I'm like, if some of the raspberry mush gets on another berry, that berry is also unedible in my mind.
That's basically correct. What this article says by Alice Callahan in the New York Times is that the mold spores slowly move. So if it does touch, it could infect it. And then, like, over time, you should just get rid of them or eat them or whatever, but you don't need to throw out the whole box. So when I read this headline, I was really excited. And then when I read the article, I was like, okay, so it's exactly what common sense would tell you.
Yeah, it was that too. Yeah. Yes.
All right. Good to know.
Yeah, it's like, I didn't need the science. I didn't need this article. I didn't need to pay the subscription for the New York Times. No. What you were doing already is right.
Yeah. So carry on with your berries, and everybody.
Also, I've also wondered this. Like, you know, they say one bad apple spoils the whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think so. Just throwing that out there. Again, just common sense. If
point.
I have a big barrel of apples and I find one bad apple at the top, is one, like, three quarters of the way down really affected?
Is that not a reference to Snow White? Where she eats the apple?
Whoa!
Isn't that Snow White or is that Cinderella?
Snow White eats the apple.
Yeah, it's Snow White.
Yeah.
I think it's a reference to, like, the fairy tale. Where it's like,
no way.
I'm going,
with no research, I'm going 0% on that. 0% chance that's real. You think that one bad apple spoils the whole bunch is from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs?
Well, those are based on, like, older fables from Hans Christian Andersen. So, I don't know. That's what I thought. But it turns out it's actually from a proverb rephrased by Benjamin Franklin in Poor Richard's Almanac
in
1736.
You mean it's not from Walt Disney?
Well, they may have incorporated it from there. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God. You really hang on to your takes, and I respect it. I respect it. You should be on First Take.
I'm not willing to give it up.
You are not.
I'm going to read.
No, it's from Benjamin Franklin, 1936. Well,
1736.
Counterpoint, 20 minutes.
Counterpoint, 204 years later, it might be related.
I'm just going to read to you from the Wikipedia page, which is obviously correct. Everything on Wikipedia and Reddit has to be correct.
Absolute fact.
The bad apples metaphor originates from the proverb, a rotten apple quickly infects its neighbor, first recorded as used in English in 1340. The proverb was rephrased by Benjamin Franklin in Poor Richard's Almanac in 1736, stating the rotten apple spoils his companion. The phrase was popularized by sermons during the 19th century, claiming as one bad apple spoils the other, you must show no quarter to sin or sinners.
It's definitely from Snow White. From Snow White. It's definitely not from the 14th century. It's from Snow White.
I would be willing to put money down on the fact that this saying was known by Hans Christian Andersen.
How much money? $100.
$50.
$100.
Sure.
Shaking on it right now.
Okay.
You owe me $100. Just right. I don't even have to do any research.
All right. We'll look into it.
There's not even a bunch of apples in that movie. You're so wrong.
Okay. Sure. I mean, but I'm just saying, I'm not saying Disney came up with it. I'm saying it's from the original fable. But we'll not that it's from the fable, but it was out there already. We'll figure it out. We'll report back. Let's move on.
Hold on. We need an update. Is Pusha T married? Yes, Pusha T is married, according to a website, which may or may not be wrong. But shout out to Pusha T.
Who's he married
and
to?
His wife, Virginia Williams. Oh, married in 2018.
Oh, recent.
Recently.
You know what?
Pre-pandemic.
I'm nervous about that. He had a lot of hits before 2018, so I hope she's there for the right reasons.
I'm sure she's there for the right reasons.
Okay, I hope so.
If they made it through the pandemic, you can make it through anything.
I hope
so. The never-ending pandemic.
All right.
Moving on.
Next story comes to us from the wonderful journalist, one of my favorite websites, TMZ.com. On the topic of McDonald's, Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez were seen eating McDonald's in a Tesla. And she was eating a Big Mac, unclear what he was eating, but she went for the classic.
There are so many great nouns in this.
I mean, it's fantastic. First of all, this makes me really happy because Jennifer Lopez is one of the most stunning, beautiful, fit, healthy people of all time. So if Jennifer Lopez can have a fucking McDonald's burger on the weekend, We all can.
Exactly.
Live your best life, everybody.
Ben Affleck eats a Big Mac. Not a headline, not a story. Jennifer Lopez eats a Big Mac.
It's a story.
TMZ, it's a story. And she's eating it on, like, the paparazzi got her, like, driving by mid-bite through the window.
It's incredible. And these are not stage photos. Many of their photos are staged. Mm. These are clearly not, because you can't get a good shot of Ben. There's a lot of glare and whatever. But, like, it's amazing. Also, she still looked incredible. I was like, oh, so she looks good every time she leaves the house.
Of course she does. Just, yeah.
She is such an incredible pro and, like, just excellent at life. It blows me away. I love J-Lo.
I love J-Lo, too. I've had a crush on J-Lo since, I think, like, 95, 96. And she looks the same.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. Did you watch Marry Me on Peacock?
No.
I did. I watched it the first weekend.
I'm not surprised.
I had a great time. The songs are really fucking catchy.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba,
marry me. As catchy as that, yeah.
That's a Pusha T told Virginia Williams.
It goes, marry me, marry me. It's great. Anyway, Ben Affleck fucking loves chains. He loves American chains. This man has been photographed with and at Dunkin' so many times. He had a big Starbucks run where he was, like, clearly ordering from the app when the app was new because the label was on it. And I was like, Ben, you're just like me. I love it. Jacoby's a major Starbucks app evangelist.
I couldn't get into my app for, like, 3 days. It changed my life forever.
And then he also, on the way to rehab in 2018, stopped at Jack in the Box. And there's photos of him, like, scarfing down Jack in the Box. Jennifer Garner's driving
him.
My
first Jack in the Box experience was on our first friend date.
Oh, my God.
After watching Batman.
Yeah. I love Jack in the Box.
I love Batman.
Probably. That was good. It was very good. We saw, that was lovely. Great time. Love you, Jacoby.
Love you, too.
Anyway, also, I think we got some really good food at that movie theater, if I recall. I recall we got some chicken tenders and, like, a lot of different salts on it. Anyway, Ben Affleck was on the Bill Simmons podcast. Was it in December, I think? And I've always loved Ben Affleck. Sometimes I feel complicated about him. I just worry about Jennifer Garner and the kids, of course, whatever. Yeah. But he made a reference on Bill's pod to the Jack in the Box photos, which just, like, made me love it even more. He's like, I just love fast food. He said something like that. And I was like, Ben, you're so good at being a celebrity.
These two are interesting to me because they're both good at being celebrities, but, like, Ben Affleck's a regular dude that had to learn how to be good at being a celebrity, but Jennifer Lopez was, like, born a famous celebrity and does it naturally.
Yeah, I mean, her story is amazing, and, like, her rise from Jenny from the Block on The Six to Fly Girl to Vegas to just buying a $50 million house
and bringing McDonald's to it.
It's, like, just amazing.
You're a little worried about the Tesla? I'm a little worried about the Tesla. Very nice cars. Very nice cars.
I don't know. This is, like, so standard Ben Affleck move of, like, I have a Tesla. I'm like, okay, cool, whatever. Have you ever tried to get into a Tesla? It's, like, very hard to open the door if you don't know how.
Oh, there's a few, like, Uber Teslas. Yeah. And I'm always just like, how do I get out of this place? I'm like, am I being locked in here? And they're always like, push the button. I'm like, what button? There's a lot of buttons. I'm scared now.
Once I had a date and the guy was driving a Tesla and I, like, could get into the car. It was so awkward. It was just horrible.
Did you just run from the car and cancel the date?
Like, this is over.
I can't get in here. Sorry, it's not going to work. I can already tell. Bye.
Let's move on. This is a trend story from the Washington Post. I just wanted to mention it because it brings something interesting to me. The headline is How Little Gem Lettuce Became the Crown Jewel of Restaurant Salads. It's a lovely article by a woman named Emily Heil. I'll say the TLDR is, like, basically it carries vinaigrettes really well. And, like, it has, like, a pretty, like, mild taste. And it's just been around for a while. But I just, like, how do you feel about lettuce trends and, like, vegetable trends in general? Like, do you like to jump on board or are you skeptical?
Well, lettuce in particular, I have thoughts on.
Okay.
It's like romaine, I would say, would be, like, standard. But you know what I really love is a bib. And I like a bib for the same reason as a gem, because a vinaigrette goes really well on a bib. And if I were to power rank lettuces, I would go romaine, bib, gem. Iceberg, huge gap, and then, like, all that other BS that I hate.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So, like, I hate kale. So, like,
yes. Who likes kale?
The fact that it's still around, had this long of a run, is, like, kind of shocking to me.
How did a kale Caesar become, like, a regular thing on people's menu?
I don't know. Just give me a romaine Caesar.
Yeah, I want a Caesar salad.
Yeah, me too. It's, like, so much better. But, you know, I guess there's a restaurateur named Paul Kahn from Chicago who's very involved in the Little Gem movement. But, like, I guess if a new lettuce is coming on trend, I guess I'm happy it's Little Gem because it tastes a lot like
Romaine.
Romaine, yeah.
It's romaine. Which if you're a blind taste test, if you say, if you made a salad.
Should we do that? A blind lettuce taste test?
Oh, there's no chance I know the difference between any of them.
Let's do that next week. That sounds fun.
I'm for it. That and the good great. Thing is we all have masks. We can just put them on our heads.
Exactly.
We have blindfolds.
Remember when you did that with the fries?
We're all carrying blindfolds at all times.
Yeah, okay, great.
Moving on.
Let's move on. Shall we do some booze news?
I love booze news.
Me too. It's just like saying booze news, really. This is from the drinks business. Stout fans can now be buried under a Guinness-inspired headstone. I think this news came around St. Patrick's Day last week, which I've never really celebrated myself. Mm. anyway, the Irish really do love Guinness. That is not a lie. Yeah. And headstone specialist Memorials of Distinction have created a special stout-shaped memorial just in time for the St. Patrick's Day. According to the company, there's been a rise in demand in headstones, which reflect a person's passions and interests. And so now they're making this Guinness one.
Do you know what this? This sounds an alarm in my head.
Okay.
Marital fight.
Mm.
You go to your wife. You're like, listen, this is very important to me. I'm glad that we got those plots next to each other. We can forever be next to each other, but I want my headstone to be in the shape of a pint of Guinness. And the wife is just like, come on, man.
Have you been to the Guinness factory in Dublin?
No, I've been to Ireland, but not Dublin.
It's cool. Dublin's a really nice small city. I went to the Guinness factory. It's pretty cool. It has like the best view of Dublin and like, I don't know. It's such a thing.
Just because I know my mom listens to this and loves food news, I think we went to Dublin for like 6 hours.
Oh, okay, cool.
But we didn't go to the Guinness Factory.
Where else did you go in Ireland?
Lough Derg.
Oh. Yeah. Are you Irish?
Kilkenny. Well, I am part Irish.
I went to Kilkenny. I stayed there. It's nice.
I'm part Irish.
Ireland's a cool country. I like it there. I went like in the dead of winter, which I wouldn't recommend. It was really cold and damp. But,
whoa.
But
bold.
But it was a fun trip anyway. All righty. Should we do one more story and then move on to our taste test for today?
Yes.
All right. Well, this is an important follow-up. You may recall we talked about the world's largest potato a while ago. A couple in New Zealand found it in their garden. Well, you might be shocked to find out it wasn't actually a potato. Can you believe it?
Who would have thought?
They called it Doug, and it turned out that it was not a potato. I'm pretty sad for them, but they received an email.
Are you pretty sad? You're laughing. You're like, pretty sad
That's
for
a
them.
Funny story. Sadly, the specimen is not a potato and is, in fact, the tuber of a type of gourd. For this reason, we do unfortunately have to disqualify the application, so it cannot be in the Guinness Book of World Records for the biggest potato. Sad. It's a gourd.
We tried to break a Guinness World Record. Actually, did. Sorry. On a show I was working on, and they have like these auditors come, and they're not playing around.
Oh, interesting.
Like, you can't just, it's not like a goof. You can't just, like, make up a Guinness World Record and they come over and they're just like, hey, no one's done this before. You win. Here's your plaque. Like, they're very serious about what they do.
Interesting.
And they want that potato to be a potato. And I do somewhat feel bad for these people because this was their claim to fame. This was their thing. And they were like, you know, they went to bed at night and looked at the ceiling. And they're like, you know, we've accomplished something.
Also, like,
this Guinness Book of World Records.
This grew on their property. Like, is there something wrong with their property? Like,
well, it's also like, did you plant a potato and grew a gourd? Like, what happened?
Well, they didn't think that. They thought like something like washed over or whatever, like just like natural. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, me and you are not agriculture people. It's not like, you know,
take a look
about.
At my garden. You'll have an idea that I have no idea what I'm doing. Anyway, I just worry about their land. So hopefully it's okay.
I hope they're okay, too.
On that note, let's go on to our taste test.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do, too. I also know that lots of you exercise. But if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear. Especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori Clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom. Oh, the paradox of the bagel. 'Tis crunchy yet soft. 'Tis filling yet has a hole. 'Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's. Huzzah! A toast to breakfast.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
We're going to lean into this vegetable life.
Going on a flight.
Which is not what they had in New Zealand. And today we are tasting some varieties of dried mushrooms, basically. So these are like alternate chips, essentially. And I love snacks. I prefer snacks to meals.
Mm.
Which isn't like really a great habit, but if, you know, you could supplement them with some dried mushrooms, perhaps it's not so bad.
So taro chips are what started this.
Taro
chips. Yeah.
Taro is a vegetable.
It's like, oh, don't eat potato chips, eat taro chips. It's like beetroots and whatever. And then you find out that they have just as much fat and just as bad as you.
And so much salt.
Yeah. They're just as bad for you as potato chips. And then there's, in my house, we get like snap peas, you know, those things.
Yeah, of course.
And veggie chips. And like, we have a lot of this dried vegetable stuff in my home. But if you really dig down, it's not like you're eating vegetables.
I love the veggie sticks. Those are so
good. Those are good.
So good.
But like, they're so far away from being actual vegetables.
The thing about vegetables is, like, they're just not that good. Like,
no.
They're good if they're drenched in oil or, like, I don't know. But, yeah, vegetables are vegetables for a reason. Like, if this could be good, it would be huge for me.
Is this going to be good?
I don't know. Dried mushrooms.
I'm going to say that this is, like the opposite of the Jenny's ice cream taste test.
This is, yeah, sure. I'm nervous, though, like I was for Jenny's. I will say, I love cooked mushrooms. I do not like raw mushrooms in salads. When that's in there, I'm just like, what are people doing?
What are we doing? I only like a specific type of cooked mushroom.
In a marsala?
Yes.
Like a chicken marsala?
Yeah, or like if I'm at a steakhouse and it's like a mushroom sauce.
Sure.
But like if I go to like a Japanese restaurant and they have like a bunch of mushrooms in my soup, because you know I love soups, like the shiitake mushrooms and all those mushrooms, sure. No thank you.
Yeah, I like really mixed on them. I think they have a place, but I don't love them. So here I am. I'm going to try a King Trumpet mushroom crisp.
Oh, my God. I'm
it
scared.
It kind of looks like dried fruit.
Looks like a dried mango. Great sound. Great for the pod.
Hmm.
How are we feeling?
The initial taste is better than the aftertaste. When the salt wears off, it's just sort of like foamy and not so into it. It's very...
Oh, that tastes like a mushroom.
It's a pretty complicated taste, though. It's very full.
It's not...
It's not bad. It's just, it's kind of dry. Like, I need to have a lubricant now.
That wasn't bad.
I don't know that I would reach for it.
I don't want another.
Don't you think you could trick your kids into eating this from a young age, though?
If I put them in a bowl and they never saw the bag.
Right. Which is
maybe good.
And
I just put it in front of them, maybe I could. Let's go this.
That was King Trumpet. Now we're going to Black Oyster.
If you were, like, put a gun in my head and name variety of mushrooms, I could probably get to, like, three, and I'm done.
Same. I was going to give myself three.
Yeah, I've never heard of a trumpet in my life. Black Oyster, here we go.
This is better.
Sweet.
A little sweet, yeah.
Yeah.
I like this.
I'm not bad.
Yeah, it's good. I like it.
I mean, first of all,
I'm going to finish it.
My expectations are so low for these.
That's good.
But that got over it.
Yeah, I like it.
I would eat that.
Me too.
Are these bad for you? No, not that bad for you.
What are we looking at here?
A little carby, a little sodium. Not bad for you, though. Not, you know, not
super
that
carby,
bad.
But whatever.
Yeah.
Let's see. But the ingredients are black oyster mushrooms, some oil, sugar. Yeah, I can taste that.
Oh, these are low temperature vacuum fried.
Cool.
Okay.
I'm into it. These are good. Yeah.
All right. But now this last guy's a beach mushroom, which I've never heard of before.
I was going to say, are you wondering what low temperature vacuum frying is? Because the answer on here, the deep frying device housed in a vacuum chamber processes a fresh mushroom at a low temperature between 80 and 120 degrees Celsius, which maintains the mushroom's own color and nutrients significantly. It also reduces oil absorption of the mushroom, but still provides a crispy texture.
Quick follow-up. Is 80 to 100 degrees low temperature? Because that sounds really hot.
Maybe for frying?
Okay, I was going to say, it sounds like between 200 and 300.
Yeah, Celsius.
Yeah, it's Fahrenheit.
So you're definitely
getting... not low temperature. That is cooked.
You're definitely getting burned. All right, here we go. Your hand in there.
Beach mushrooms.
Beach mushrooms. This looks small.
These guys are like little french fries.
Mmm. Yummy.
Ooh.
Really good.
Hold on, I'm going back in.
I'm hungry,
by the way.
I like that a lot. This is a really good snack. Delicious.
I gotta say, my expectations were low. These are pretty good.
Oh my God, you have the whole package for 170 calories.
Oh, that's the whole package?
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, I'm in.
These are delicious.
These aren't bad.
Beach mushroom crepes. Check it out.
You know what? We were a little concerned about this flight.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say.
Turned out good.
Mushrooms.
I'm interested.
I'm in.
That would be a great plane snack.
When
I'm
yeah.
When I'm like miserable on the plane, I'm just like, give me some fucking food.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was on a plane yesterday, so it resonates with me, you know?
No, I think so too. It also, it has an air of like sophistication.
Yeah.
So it's like only first class gets the mushrooms.
Yeah. It's
you know
like,
what
oh,
I mean?
I'm not eating chips. I'm eating mushrooms.
Yeah. 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 Sorry.
You guys have
pretzel sticks? Oh, you have pretzel sticks? Oh, guess what?
Go mushrooms. Back there with that.
Yeah.
All right. Personal food news time.
I have some.
Me too. I just got back from LA, as mentioned. I'm a big iced coffee drinker. Having it right now. I have hot coffee in my home in the mornings, but like when I'm out of the house, I prefer an iced coffee. It's just sort of like it's just part of the ritual of my life. So I'm in LA, it's fucking hot, even though it's March, and I'm in downtown Los Angeles. And all I want is just like a normal person's iced coffee with whole milk. And I went to two places here are the options.
Don't.
Half and half, which I don't like. I'm sorry. It's very specific half and half. Oat milk and almond milk. And that's it.
Two places?
Yes, two places.
Where are we in 2022 where whole milk is not only like the default setting, but it's not an option?
It's so weird, man. I'm just like, I don't even want skim milk. I get it. Skim milk's very passe. It's out. I want whole milk, regular milk. And when I order milk now, I have to always specify. I always say, I'll have whole milk, regular milk, because they think I'm saying oat, and I don't want oat milk.
I want regular milk. Milk, like milk? The word milk?
What
like,
comes from a cow, the regular thing.
There used to be a milkman that would come to your house.
And it like boggled my mind. And on top of that, you can't just get like a regular iced coffee. You can't get something that's like in between hot coffee that's been watered down over ice and like super fancy cold brew. But like, we're drinking La Colombe right now, which I fucking love. La Colombe iced coffee in the can is like my favorite coffee out there. Good. But like, other than that, I don't like fancy iced coffee. Just give me a plain iced coffee, please.
Iced coffee. And I don't like cold brew.
Me neither.
Whatever cold brew is, no thank you.
And I couldn't find it. I haven't had it for days.
The
I'm
environment
like so...
tricked me into thinking I like cold brew.
I
when
do not.
Cold brew became a thing.
I got
gaslighted into thinking I like cold brew.
And then
I was like, wait a second. Iced coffee tastes better than this.
You know what's a really good iced coffee? Is the cold brew at Dunkin' Donuts, because they have iced coffee and cold brew, but the Dunkin' cold brew is actually good because it's like their other iced coffee is like too watered down or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's not that strong because Dunkin' Donuts.
Good.
Dunkin' has always been crushing the iced coffee game. Just ask Ben Affleck. They continue to. I was so appalled by this like coffee elitism in downtown Los Angeles.
I mean, you're going to two places. That's insane.
That's insane. It was like, and then.
Did you give a little attitude?
What'd you say?
Did you give a little attitude?
No, but I then...
No attitude from Juliet Littman?
I was just like, I'm not coming back. And then I started like hoarding La Colombe cans where I could find them. Like I went to a restaurant that sells them, and I was on my way out. I was like, can I get another one, but just the can? Like I'm going to save it for later. And they brought it to me, and I was like, I guess I have to travel with my own iced coffee now because no other options.
Yes. Keys, phone, wallet.
La Colombe iced coffee. Yes. Yeah, it's the best.
My personal food news is actually my wife's personal food news.
Ooh.
She is on a juice cleanse.
Oh, no.
I have done a juice cleanse once in my life.
Oh, no.
And I want to know how you feel about juice cleanses.
I did one once as well. Of course, it was while I was living in Los Angeles, home mm-hmm. of the juice cleanse.
Yep.
And it was miserable. I was cranky. And it made no difference whatsoever. Like,
it's like, yes, you're going to lose 4 pounds.
But you'll gain them right back.
In 12 hours.
You might as well.
30
It's honestly,
seconds.
Like, this sucks because I was just denigrating vegetables. But, like, you should just have, like, vegetables and, like, clear liquids if that's what you're going to do.
There's,
like, you can cook
there's
them.
No, like, quick fix way to,
no,
like, there's no way to cheat it. Except
there's
for.
No way to cheat
I
it.
I used this joke. I probably used it before. But I have a guaranteed way to lose at least 10 pounds. It'll stay off forever. And it only takes an hour and a half. Amputate an arm.
Good one, Jacoby.
Boom.
Definitely less than an hour and a half based on what I've seen in movies. Thank you to Mike Wargon for producing this episode.
Yeah, Mike.
Another great rundown. Thank you to these delicious beach mushroom crisps.
I'm going to have some more.
Fucking delicious.
Starving, I'm going back in for more.
Thank you to La Colombe for being there in my time of need.
Fueling us here on Food News.
And thank you to you, Jacoby. You're my fave.
Thank you to you, Juliet Littman.
We'll be back next week. We're going to do a blind taste test of lettuce.
Let's do it. Let's go on a
flight. We got a Whole Foods right next door.
Flight.
Great. We'll see you then.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.